Steph Curry is the NBA scoring king for the 2020 season. The two-time MVP scored 46 points in 40 minutes Sunday in a 113-101 win over the Memphis Grizzlies, helping the Warriors clinch the 8th seed in the Western Conference, setting up the Dubs for a Wednesday road game against the Lakers. That's right here, ESPN 10 Eastern. John Morant showing love, tweeting this. MVP, no debate. LeBron co-signed. That's Steph's MVP. Take a listen.
So playing versus, in my opinion, the MVP of our league this year, and Steph. So we got to be, prepared for everything that they have. They got championship DNA as well. You know, they know what it takes and what it feels like to be in pressure games. So we got to be ready for that opportunity and for that pressure.
Stephen A., do you think LeBron's being sincere there, saying that Steph's MVP, and then keep in mind they're playing each other Wednesday?
Well, I'm not going to question his sincerity with it. I'm just going to say I think it's some gamesmanship there. And to me, I'm one of those people. Listen, it's no big deal. I ain't losing sleep over it. But I prefer, let me just put it to you this way, because I'm going to be nice this morning. I'm going to be nice. I mean, I'll save my vitriol for Max Kellerman. I'm not going to aim it in the direction of LeBron James here. But I want a little animosity. I want LeBron knowing Steph is coming to slay the king. You see what I'm saying? And what's up? We ready. I want that. You know, one of the things that guys from the past, and again, I'm relatively old school, and guys from the past, I really, really appreciated it. You don't have to go to the extreme of Pat Riley where he didn't want guys being friends at all off the court and stuff like that. But I also don't want you on the court singing Kumbaya to one another, hugging one another. You know, like, I don't need all that. I mean, we about to go at it. You see what I'm saying? And the intrigue that comes with just a touch of animus before you encounter one another is appealing to the viewer. And that is something that LeBron James almost has never, ever given up. He's such a likable guy. You know, and you see stars around him, and he loves on them. They love on him. He's a lot of fun. They joke around and stuff like that. I remember years ago when him and D-Wade were going up against each other after they left, after he had left Miami and stuff like that. They hugged each other so damn much on the court. Everybody was like,
well,
what the hell's
tight.
Going on?
They're boys.
Yeah, I'm just saying, what I'm saying is that I know they're going to go at each other.
Yeah.
But from a fan's perspective, you want to sense a little bit of animus just on a basketball court. You want to sense like, I'm a bust your living, you know what, here I come. You want to see it. You want to know it's coming. You want to feel it. And I'm not saying you don't necessarily feel that here. I'm just saying that it doesn't escape me that he doesn't speak ill of the competition. And it's had a contagious effect because we don't see too many dudes doing that in today's NBA game. And some of us miss it.
I'm with you, Max.
Well, I mean, is this like you're saying you miss the gamesmanship? Yeah, I kind of do too. But I think he's not only being sincere. I don't think LeBron needs to butter anyone up like, hey, Steph, I'm saying nice things about you. Take it easy on me, will you? No, I think this is like the Bob Gibson quote, one of the greatest pitchers of all time. He said, the best catch ever is like watching the girls go by. The prettiest one is the last one you saw. That's the best catch ever. Same thing here with LeBron and Steph and MVP, I think. He's seeing a league where, look, James Harden was balling, got hurt. Embiid was balling. LeBron was balling. KD was balling. They all got hurt. Jokic been balling wire to wire. But the Dame for a lot of the season, they looked like he got tired, right? Or a little hurt. Steph Curry not only had a really good season the whole time, but put the pedal to the metal recently. Last month or so, he's been out of his mind. So the lasting impression that LeBron has about Steph is that. And if you ask him about it, he's going to tell you, that's the MVP. I don't think he's sitting down and like really thinking about from beginning to end. Maybe he is because Steph has played himself, I think, into the number two spot behind Jokic. But I can't blame a dude, especially who's about to compete against that guy. Like, what do you have to brace for? And LeBron's thinking, I got to brace for the dude who had the best season in the league this year. Whether I agree with him or not, I get recency bias and how he could really think that because Steph has been impossibly great, especially over the last, 30 games or so?
Yep.
It's been ridiculous. I think he's just telling you the truth.
Let me throw something at you, and maybe it's a little bit of the cynic in me, Stephen A. But first we had LeBron come out with the comments, and he said, you know, I'm not 100%. I never know if I'll be 100% again. And now he's saying Steph's the MVP. I think he's just setting up the narrative like, hey, when we beat Steph and the Warriors and we take them out real quick, I beat the MVP. Or when I win this chip, I wasn't 100%. And he's just setting us up here, and that's kind of the direction of where he's going with
it. I wouldn't accuse him of that. He clarified his position about never being 100% last night when he spoke, or Saturday, rather, when he spoke to the media. He was like, he said maybe he should have clarified it, and people ran with it. Well, damn it, it was because there's a lot of people that don't know the game, didn't know what he meant, and he knew that, and that's who he was speaking to when he said it. So he's the one that left it out there. But what he was saying is that, you know what, you never feel fresh. Once you start playing in this game, you're never 100% a game. You might be 99%, but you're never 100%. There's always some little tweak or whatever that you could afford to you could afford to have at your disposal. That's all he meant by that. And I don't think it's one of those situations where he's saying, okay, if I'm not 100% and I still slayed the giant, that is Steph Curry. Believe it or not, even though Steph Curry is lethal, LeBron has bigger fish to fry. The fact is, you're a reigning defending NBA champion. Utah, Phoenix, the Clippers, Denver, they all are there waiting for you with home court advantage. And if you get through them, the Brooklyn Nets with Kyrie, and I say Kyrie instead of KD because even though we know KD would love to be universally recognized as the best in the world and what have you, as opposed to LeBron, KD wasn't LeBron's former teammate. KD wasn't the one that wanted out from playing under LeBron's shadow. That would be Kyrie Irving. And so Kyrie Irving going to the finals against LeBron James, that would be headline material all day, every day when it comes to those two going at it and putting on a show on the court if the finals came to that. LeBron actually has bigger fish to fry than Steph. It's just that Steph is so lethal, Steph could interrupt everything by knocking the Lakers off Wednesday night, even though that wouldn't eliminate the Lakers from the possibility of making the postseason.
Max?
I mean, when Stephen A. talks about gamesmanship, Stephen A., you actually told me my favorite sports story of all time, and it was about Michael Jordan. And I'll just give you the cliff notes, everybody, that Jordan used to antagonize opponents before playoff games. And when Stephen A., you told me this story, I was like, yeah, of course, because he wants to throw them off their game. Muhammad Ali used to do the same thing, right? Get them angry, get them off kilter, and you take advantage. Stephen A., you told me, no, Jordan did it because he wanted that dude at his best so that when he beat him, that dude knew and Jordan knew, I beat your best, which is why he's saying Anita's Baker is giving you the best that I got to him, right, while he was giving him work. Stephen A., that's like sports NC-17 content, like that type of thing, especially, I guess, for people in our generation, it's like, oh, my God, I love that. LeBron's not that. He's a different kind of cat. But not everybody has to be like Jordan or Kobe. LeBron's doing it his own way. I got no problem with it.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
We're talking playoffs. The play-in tournament gets started tomorrow. So if you are confused at all, listen up. Here's how it all went down. I'm going to break it down for you. So the seventh and eighth teams will go head-to-head, and they must win two games to earn a playoff spot. In the East, we'll see the seven-seed Celtics take on the eight-seed Wizards. The Celtics are looking to make the playoffs for the seventh straight season. Out West, the Lakers are the seven-seed taking on the eight-seed Warriors. LA won two of their three regular season meetings against Golden State. The ninth and tenth teams must win two straight games to earn a playoff spot. The 9-10 matchup in the Eastern Conference is Pacers-Hornets. The Hornets are seeking their first playoff appearance since the 2015-2016 season, while the Western Conference matchup will pit the Grizzlies against the Spurs. The Grizzlies seeking their first playoff appearance since the 2016-2017 season. The winner of the 7-8 game will move on and become the 7th seed. The loser of the 7-8 game plays the winner of the 9-10 game to determine the 8th seed. The loser of the 9-10 game is eliminated. Got that? Make sense? Good. That was a lot, but I'm here for you all. Russell Westbrook will be ready for the play-in after a historic first season with the Washington Wizards. Last week, Westbrook was honored in pregame for breaking Oscar Robertson's triple-double record with 182. Stephen A. Smith, what's at stake for Russ in these playoffs?
Relevancy. Let me explain. Russell Westbrook, and I'm going to say it again, because people just don't get this message. Russell Westbrook is a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, an electrifying talent, box office. Everything he said about himself is right. Plays hard every night, never cheats the game, never cheats the fans with his effort. It's phenomenal. And the triple doubles are the triple doubles. There is no denying it. And I appreciate the Wizards giving him a plaque with the jersey, the number 182 on it for all-time triple-doubles and all of this other stuff. The Washington Wizards are in eighth place. Granted, it's not 10th like they were last year. They're in eighth place now. They're in eighth place. I expect them to win the play-in, and then I expect them to go home in the first round. And if they go home in the first round, that means four times over the last 5 years, we have seen one of the greatest talents this game has ever seen home in the first round. Now, I don't know about everybody else, but that doesn't excite me. I want to see this man compete for a championship. And it's not all his fault. Let me be very clear about this. First of all, let me give props to Scott Brooks. I think Scott Brooks, their defense was horrid. Even though it is not much improved, it was improved enough, and it wasn't just about Westbrook. I'm a huge Bradley Beal fan, and Scott Brooks can coach, has done a good job, a damn good job over the last couple of months. And Russell Westbrook has been the leader, and clearly they won the trade with Houston for John Wall. Don't tell me the Washington Wizards are not better off. They are better off. Russell Westbrook has made them better. What I'm saying is that this is the most athletic point guard in the history of basketball. This dude is a guy that we were accustomed to seeing. Last time we saw him deep into the playoffs was when they had a 3-1 lead on the Golden State Warriors, and we thought they were going to knock off that 73-win team, and come to find out, Steph and Clay and those boys came back and closed the deal and beat them out. Russell Westbrook, the only time he has been out of the first round since was when they lost, when he was with Harden last year in Houston. And obviously he came down with COVID before the bubble play and all of that stuff, and being the warrior that he is, he went there and tried his best, et cetera, et cetera. All I'm saying is that when I look at Russell Westbrook, I appreciate all the accolades, but it gets to a point where, all right, these are individual awards. What individual award don't you deserve? As incredible as you are, we know what you can do. There's one thing missing now. And the one thing, I'm not even talking about the chip. I'm talking about competing for it. Literally being in that picture, because just like other dudes moved on and they were in a position to demand themselves being in a better situation. Russell Westbrook could have done that, but he didn't do that in this particular situation. He chose to depart from Houston and ended up in Washington. And I'm just looking at it and I'm saying, yo, I see what you're doing. I know how great you are. But when those playoffs are deep and you home watching it with the rest of us, America and the basketball world is being robbed of watching one of the great, most ferocious talents this game has ever seen. We're not getting to see you competing for the championship, but we see your numbers. If it does that for everybody else, cool. That don't do it for me. I want to see this brother compete for a championship. That's all I'm saying. And it's not all his fault, but that's what I'm saying.
Well, that's not going to happen this year. I mean, not where they're seated if they get through the play, which I expect them to do, by the way. That's not going to happen this year. And that's not Russell Westbrook's fault. Look, Russell Westbrook, the league has changed, Stephen A., to the point where if you're the primary ball handler and you can't shoot, that is an enormous disadvantage in this era for winning championships. Like, what's the problem with the Sixers? Ben Simmons can't shoot. Otherwise, they're ready to go right now. And even so, they'll make a run because they're loaded. They got a lot of shooters. Westbrook can't shoot. Can't shoot. That's what's holding them back. That's it. But I agree that he hasn't made a lot of deep runs commensurate with his talent. I don't see the downside here. I see all upside. Because if he makes a little run right now, he can add to his legacy. I don't see a downside if he can't get out of the first round here for Russell Westbrook. And let me say something else about Russell Westbrook. He has been victimized by circumstance, not just because the league changed. Right? Once upon a time, as great as we think he is, we think he's even greater. Not just because the league changed. What keeps happening to Westbrook? 3 years ago, right? And by the way, because OKC is cheap, they had all these amazing dynasties possible, and they don't want to go into luxury tax and everything, so they and Westbrook was the guy who stayed around, right? So what did he have to deal with? A constantly changing team. Here's Paul George. Okay, now I got to figure this out. First half of the season, Westbrook's not the same. Second half of the season, he figured it out. Oh, damn, Westbrook's as good as ever. He just changed his game for the team, just like we say Harden. Not selfish. He's not selfish, just doing what the team needs. Westbrook had to figure it out. Then the next season, he's traded. Now he's not only on a Houston team, but on a Houston team with James Harden. He's got to figure that out. First half of the season, I don't know. Then he figures it out. Oh, my God, Westbrook's an animal. Same as always, maybe better. Look at him. He's a point center. Same thing this season. Gets traded again. Three different teams in 3 years. Got to do it all again. Figure it out with Bradley Beal. Why can't y'all win? He's figuring it out. Second half of the season, look at this. Westbrook's setting records. He's as great as ever. He's an MVP caliber player still. So those events, the league changing, needing the primary ball handler to shoot, which is not one of his talents. It's really the only one he doesn't have. That victimized him, but especially the fact that he was on a cheap franchise and then he got moved twice, so three teams in 3 years. He's been victimized by circumstance. In these playoffs, Stephen A., anything he does is gravy. And by the way, him and Bradley Beal in that backcourt, who knows? They're underdogs. I don't think they're going to do it, but who knows? He has a chance, Max, to add. I don't see any subtraction here.
I know that, Molly, you had a question.
Yeah.
I just have to address something that Max said.
Go for it.
What you just said was utterly ridiculous. Russell Westbrook's in his 13th year. Prior to him going to Houston last year, Max, what was the narrative? When he went, I'm telling you, now see, this is where it gets uncomfortable because I'm perceived as being negative on Russell Westbrook when I'm one of his biggest fans, okay? For years, I raved about him. But when I went off about it, I didn't care about a 35, 21, and 14 performance. Everybody that was getting on me for getting on Russell Westbrook ignored the fact that I was pointing out, you 13 games under 500. What the hell are y'all celebrating for? That's what I was saying, okay? But now that's no longer relevant because they've played their way into a top 8 seed in the NBA playoffs. But at the time that he departed, before he departed from Oklahoma City, when Kevin Durant departed, what was the scuttlebutt about? Max, you talked to enough people around the league. You've seen people come on these shows. You've talked to people out there. What were they saying? Kevin Durant could never win with Russell Westbrook. And Stephen A., you need to stop. This is not me saying this. This is people in the NBA getting on me for getting on Kevin Durant for leaving. And they were like, yo, you couldn't win with Russell Westbrook. And years before that, people were saying that. And then after he departed, and it was Victor Oladipo, and it was a Paul George, or it was James Harden again, or whatever. What they were saying was, excuse me, because of his style of play, his aggression, his veracity, and all of those things being considered, but he's also an alpha male. How does that mesh and how does that work? They were questioning those things about him. It wasn't me questioning it. It was other people in the NBA that were questioning it. So you can't sit up here and say it was circumstances and it was not his fault, because if you're saying that, that means for the first 11 years of his career, people were lying. And that's not what folks were saying up until, you know, they weren't saying that.
Stephen A., I'm not absolving him. In every era, well, if only Jordan wasn't there, Barkley, Malone, Stockton would have had championships. There's always Jordan there or LeBron there or, that's how we figure out who's the best of the best. I'm not saying none of that is on Westbrook. I think mostly it's his shooting, right? And we can dress it up. If only he played this way, that way, you can't win. No, he can shoot it a little better. It's just not like he does everything except shoot the ball. I think also, though, when you look at his teams, the real team that had a chance to win the championship was the 16 team. They lost to the Warriors, who lost to the Cavs. And then what has KD proven without Westbrook? That he can go to a 73-win team and win a couple championships? Yeah, Paul George could have done the same thing. Any all-star you add to that Warriors team is going to crush everyone. They already were just about the best ever, right? So Westbrook hasn't had that fortune. Westbrook keeps going to new situations. That's what I'm saying. That how many teams has he really been on? And you looked at and you said, yeah, they can win the championship. One, maybe two, maybe, maybe. And the one where you said, yeah, he got to a conference finals.
We could see KD versus Russ in the first round if they do take care of business against Boston.
And the Wizards will go home.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Sunday night in Brooklyn, Kyrie Irving locked in an astounding 50-40-90 season. This means shooting percentages of over 50%, field goals overall, over 40% on threes, and more than 90% from the free throw line. He becomes the ninth player in NBA history to do so. Despite that, Kyrie shared a bit with the media over the weekend on where his focus is.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. A lot of stuff is going on in this world, and basketball is just not the most important thing to me right now. There's a lot of stuff going on overseas. All my people are still in bondage all across the world, and there's a lot of dehumanization going on. So, you know, I apologize if I'm not going to be focused on y'all questions. You know, it's just too much going on in the world for me to just be talking about basketball. Like, I focus on this 24/7 most of the time, but it's just too much going on in this world not to address. My goal out here, my purpose is to help humanity, and I can't sit here and not address that. You know, I don't care which way you stand. On either side, if you're a human being, then you would support, you know, the anti-war effort that's going on. There's a lot of people losing their lives, children, a lot of babies. And, you know, that's just what I'm focused on. So if you guys want to ask me questions about the game, I really don't care about it, but except just, you know, everybody leaving out of the game healthy and being able to go home to their families.
Stephen A.
I'm trying to find a delicate way to say what I want to say. Kyrie Irving really, really doesn't get how he's been coming across. So let me try to break this down. Do you really think that people don't care that others are starving? Do you really think that people don't care that people are dying? Do you really think that people don't care? It could be the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It could be racism and prejudice. It could be our nation's sordid history involving slavery and beyond. It could be all of those things. He doesn't realize that when he says stuff the way that he's saying, you're implying that other people don't care. But you do. I know Kyrie cares. I truly, truly believe his heart is in the right place. I would also like to remind Kyrie Irving that you played 17 games as a collegiate athlete, but you still ended up going in the NBA. And generating millions of dollars for yourself. How much would you be focused on these issues if you had to worry about paying your bills, feeding your family, and surviving? He wouldn't have to be concerned about those things. Now, why do I bring that up? Because it's not what he feels, it's who he's talking to, why he says it. I really, really don't care what y'all have to ask. That's not what's on my mind. You can't chew, gum and walk at the same time? You just finished playing basketball. That is your job. And what you're saying is that it's not important. Now, you haven't played like it because he's a showstopper. He's box office. He's absolutely electrifying. And we have to pay attention to that. You walk through the turnstile to see Kyrie Irving because he's that special. Mm-hmm. But the flip side to it is that, my God, you better win. Because when you sit up here and you have that kind of attitude, but then you go out there, if you lose when the expectation is for you to win, people are going to point to moments just like that. And the reason they're going to have an attitude with you is not because you cared and you may have prioritized somebody, something else in the crevices of your mind more so than basketball. It's that you're implying that other people don't. When you say stuff like that, we all care about that. We don't want to see people dying. We don't want to see people struggling. We don't want to see people starving. Of course, particularly if you're black, you have been ravaged by racism and prejudice and bigotry and being marginalized and minimized. We all go through that. This is not new to him. So when you sit up there and you look at people and you say stuff like that, you're talking to other people and you're saying, well, this might not be on your mind, but it's on my mind. And the fact is, you don't know. It's just that people may have jobs to do, like you have a job to do. So while you're there, just do it. Do your job. And part of his job is, oh my God, stop the presses. Your job might actually be not just playing basketball, but answering questions about it for 10 minutes. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Wait, really? Have we done something that tragic, Max? Where to ask you about your job. Come on, man. Come on, man.
I hear everything you're saying, Stephen A. I'm not going to get on Kyrie today about that. I didn't get on him last time because I think we've all felt in life where we've seen some things going on in the world or learned about them and said, wait a minute, the world should stop spinning right now until that's addressed. Like, we should not be paying attention to any trivial thing in the world until that's addressed. So I hear you, Kyrie, and I agree with you. There are terrible things happening in this world. And sometimes answering questions about basketball or anyone doing their job feels ridiculous until, whoa, 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 everybody, all 7 billion of us, let's take care of that, right? But what Stephen A., what you're talking about is being a professional. You know who I think about? Our colleague here at ESPN, Teddy Atlas. Ever talk to Teddy or read anything that Teddy's written about his father and how his father showed him how to be a professional, what that really means? Talk to Magic Johnson. Talking about, like, I can't get the papers or the, what was it, the garbage, his garbage off the stoop. It's frozen. His dad's a kid, when he's a kid, get it. It doesn't matter if it's frozen. Our job is to collect that. You go chip the ice away and go get it, right? About being a professional. Stephen A., your mother, my father. These people spent decade after decade after decade making a living caring for large families, right? You can't miss a day of work. You know, you can't be sick. Don't get sick. And if you are, figure it out. Being a professional, I get every single thing you're saying. I would just say to Kyrie that I get how you feel, Kyrie, and oftentimes I and many feel the same way. And I appreciate that when microphones are in front of your face and cameras are on you, you're saying, wait a minute, people are listening to me right now. I can't talk about a pick and roll. I need to talk about babies dying and how to stop this. Kyrie, I hear you and I agree. I would just like to point out something, and Stephen A., I think essentially we're agreeing on this, but you tell me if it's anything different. The reason the microphones are on you and the cameras are on you is because you're great at basketball. That's why people care what you say. And if you really care about even delivering that message, if you want to amplify your voice to change the world, as stupid as it may seem, win. Win. Stephen A., Muhammad Ali would not mean what he meant in history. He'd be more of a footnote if he lost to George Foreman in Zaire. That's just the way it is. People would not be talking about him the same way, and he would not have had the voice he had. So if Kyrie is really serious about this, and I believe in his sincerity about this, win. not just be box office, do your best to amplify your voice. And however you feel, whatever this means about the society you live in, people will pay attention if you win.
Can I ask, I'm going to ask a rhetorical question here. And if anybody is offended by this, my apologies, because I mean no offense. Do we get to pay attention to the ratings and the fact that some would argue, whether it's true or not, that one of the reasons the NBA has struggled because of all the attention that has been brought to things? We understood what happened last year. We understood how tough last year was. We understand the need to make sure that nobody forgets, no matter what the situation is. Right now, you know, just recently, it was the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Of course, there was George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, and the list goes on and on and on. And we were here on the air bringing attention to those things, too. But when does it come a point in time where the NBA, for example, in this particular instance, as the playoffs are about to begin, would a year that has ravaged the economy, it's left over 22 million people unemployed, and you're looking for a reprieve, at least momentarily, from all the things that plague us as a society, when does the NBA get to sit up there and say, while we lose hundreds of millions of dollars because the COVID-19 pandemic and other things have ravaged our business, but y'all are still getting paid? When do we get to look at you and say, could you help us continue to market this product, not just with your play on the court, but when you show up in press conferences? Because as people watch and we're trying to get an audience back, isn't it somewhat incumbent upon the people being paid to entertain and to play this game, to make a contribution towards helping our bottom line? At some point in time, we got to be adult enough and grown up enough to have those kind of discussions. Because last time I checked, there's nobody on the planet stopping Kyrie or any other athlete from going out there and preaching and talking their talk about their truth and what's going on in this real world. What they're saying is, let's not convolute it to the point where we think that's what we have to talk about and we get to ignore what part of our job description is. Yep. And I think that's important to recognize because we have to do it. You got issues. Molly, you got some issues you care about daily. Yeah. I have issues I care about daily. So does Max. But it doesn't mean that we get to come on First Take and talk about those issues and not talk about sports, because that's our job.
Yep. But there's another novel idea also. Say you're answering questions for 10 minutes. You can answer questions about basketball, and then you can sneak in a little bit about what's on your mind and your heart. And that's really where you're headed. So you could do both.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, interesting discussion,
guys. As opposed to telling the world, I'm really not interested. I don't care what y'all ask me about that. Really, while people are getting ready for the playoffs. I don't care. All right, so what you going to say next? It don't matter if you win? Is that next? Because it matters to a whole bunch of people in Brooklyn. I can assure you that.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. All right, so the Clippers' losses over the weekend helped them avoid playing the Lakers. Now, if the Lakers beat the Warriors on Wednesday, the Clippers and Lakers couldn't meet until the conference finals. Max, are the Clippers smart or are they scared?
I would say stupid. You know, first of all, the Clippers should want the Lakers in the first round when the Lakers still don't have the chemistry, when they're cold, when they're ailing a little bit. You want to wait until they got a rhythm, till they're warmed up? No. I'll tell you something else. Clippers never get to the conference finals, but they might beat the Lakers in the first round, Stephen A. We know they lose in the second round. Catch them in that first round.
Interesting take. What do you think of that?
I will tell you. I'm not going to tell you what they are because I'm not going to disrespect them without speaking to them about it first. But I'll tell you how they look. They look scared. They look scared. And here's the reason why. Could you imagine if you're the Clippers coming off of blowing the 3-1 lead last year and then you go into the first round of the playoffs and you lose to the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round after letting go of Doc Rivers, after shipping Lemon Pepper Lou to Atlanta? I don't say that disrespectfully. I ain't got nothing but love for Lou Williams. The point is that you made some changes. You acquired Rondo and stuff like that. You do that, you look scared. You look scared. They're losing on purpose to avoid the Lakers.
You know who never looked scared or was avoiding people? That would be Kobe Bryant. Vanessa Bryant accepted the Hall of Fame honor on behalf of her husband on Saturday night. Let's take a listen to a portion of the speech.
I used to always avoid praising my husband in public because I felt like he got enough praise from his fans around the world, and someone had to bring him back to reality. Right now, I'm sure he's laughing in heaven because I'm about to praise him in public for his accomplishments on one of the most public stages. I can see him now, arms folded, with a huge grin saying, "Isn't this some sh-?" Kobe was one of a kind. He was special. He was humble. Off the court, but bigger than life. To all of our close friends and family that have been present for my girls and I, thank you. I don't have a speech prepared by my husband because he winged every single speech. He was intelligent, eloquent, and gifted at many things, including public speaking. However, I do know that he would thank everyone that helped him get here, including the people that doubted him and the people that worked against him and told him he couldn't attain his goals. He would thank all of them for motivating him to be here. After all, he proved you wrong. I remember asking him why he couldn't just sit a game out because he was hurting. He said, "What about the fans that saved up to watch me play just once?" He never forgot about his fans. If he could help it, he would play every minute of every game. He loved you all so much. Kobe had many accomplishments. 5-time NBA champion, 5-time New York Times best-selling author, 18-time All-Star, a league MVP, and 2-time finals MVP. 2-time Olympic gold medal winner, he is also the first professional athlete to win an Oscar. The list goes on, but his most cherished accomplishment was being the very best girl dad. Usually people thank everyone that has helped them get here, but since I don't have Kobe's specific list, I want to thank my husband. He did the work. He broke those records, and he inspired people to be great. Congratulations, baby. All of your hard work and sacrifices paid off. You once told me, if you're going to bet on someone, bet on yourself. I'm glad you bet on yourself, you overachiever. You did it. You're in the Hall of Fame now. You're a true champ. You're not just an MVP. You're an all-time great. I'm so proud of you. I love you forever and always. Kobe Bean Bryant.
Stephen A., I'll start with you. Your reaction
to Vanessa's speech?
Well, I thought it was a phenomenal speech. Every time I see her, I see, you know, MJ and them, and you're talking about Kobe. I miss my brother. He was an incredible, incredible talent. And he was just a brilliant, brilliant brother. To speak languages as fluently as he spoke them, his business acumen, his intellect, it was just off the charts. And he was an incredible role model in that regard, because to see this black man, you know, carry himself the way that he did with the level of intellect and poise that he exhibited, I just can't say enough about how brilliant he was, because he was nothing short of brilliant. And I really, really appreciated her speech, and my heart goes out to her and the beautiful children that were left behind with his passing and that of his beautiful daughter, Gianna. The only thing that I feel compelled to add, and I have to do this, and I'm not blaming, I'd have no clue, Vanessa or the Lakers. I never asked and I won't, because it's none of my business. But I will say this. Kobe had a mother. Kobe had a father. Kobe had sibling. I didn't see them. And I've never heard anybody utter a word about them.
She did mention them. I watched the full speech. Okay. She did mention them at the top. I did not see them during the broadcast.
I did not.
But she did mention them.
I went to the bathroom. I didn't hear that part.
Yep.
But thank God she did. Because I'm not even talking about her. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about the public at large. Mm-hmm. We talk so much about her loss.
Yeah.
And we should. But he had parents.
Yeah, she thanked them for creating Kobe and for raising Kobe
I'm not going with her.
Yep.
I got that. I'm just talking about all of us. Mm-hmm. We always bring her, a mother, a father, a sister. They don't have their child and their brother anymore. And we don't bring that up enough. And I wish we did.
Max?
First of all, as everyone's been saying, but you could plainly see it and hear it there, what a beautiful speech, beautifully articulated and delivered by Vanessa. That was great. And one part in particular that not just caught my attention, I think a lot of people noticed, is that when she said, you know, I asked him once because he was hurting, why are you playing? He said, there's some kid, you know, up in the nosebleeds, maybe seeing me for the first time or the only time. And I owe him my best, basically. And that is something that almost three quarters of a century ago, Joe DiMaggio said, you know, there's always a kid in the stands, and it's the first or the last time he's ever going to see me play, and I owe him my best. The reason I bring that up is because three quarters of a century later, whether or not anyone's seen him play or even know what sport he played, right, the name Joe DiMaggio still rings bells. And that will be the same for Kobe Bryant. There is a difference between, you know, Vanessa called him an all-time great. They're all-stars, they're superstars, they're all-time greats, and there are legends. And in the history of American sports, how many legends have there been? Kobe Bryant is one of them. That's what I was thinking watching Vanessa's speech.
One other thing I was thinking about, too, guys, when I think about Kobe Bryant and that Mamba mentality, what a legacy it is that when I look at somebody like him and you think about Kobe Bryant, you think, I want to be better tomorrow. I want to be the best version of myself. I want to work harder. I want to come up higher. I want to correct my weaknesses. And that's really what Kobe embodied. And when we think about Kobe and we think about that Mamba mentality, like if I saw Kobe on the screen or Kobe speech, I'm like, oh, I can go run another mile. And that truly is his legacy, in my opinion. And I love seeing the dynamic, how she was saying how she held him accountable, where it's kind of that tough love, where it's a lot of times, you might see this, you get a lot of fans around you. So it's really your inner circle that keeps you grounded, and you could see her role also in his success.
My boy Jeff, you met Jeff.
Yeah. I
brought him up many times, and my godson, his name is Nicholas Brown, doing a great, great job. Just graduated from the University of Arizona. Congratulations.
Congrats
to him. Had like a 3.8 GPA. Mm-hmm. Met Kobe Bryant a few years ago. Kobe looked at him and said, how come it ain't 4-0?
That's what I mean. Exactly. Those kind
4-0.
Of stories.
How come it's not 4-0? He said, you ain't got no job yet?
Yeah.
You're a kid. You ain't got a family. He said, what's your distraction? How come it ain't 4-0?
He makes you want to be better.
He always makes
you better. And, Max, I'm glad you brought that part up about the fans, how he never wanted to cheat the fans, injured, sick, et cetera. It's truly remarkable, and he's right. Some people saving up all their money just to get to see him one time and how special that was. I don't know. When you talk about Kobe Bryant, really just speechless, and his wife, truly such a queen. So my thoughts with their entire family. We will be back here on First Take tomorrow talking playoffs. Bye, guys.